It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking.
This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939.
A real hometown car dealer.
There you go. Longtime Chevrolet dealer in Mobile, Alabama.
39.
Yep.
So I remember that year.
You do?
I remember that year. Yeah.
let's see. Alabama Pipe and Supply. Competition Head Service and Head Seafood Shed.
The Fantabulous Dewey Miller.
Yep.
Yes.
On Butler Drive.
Butler and my drive over there.
Yep. Great people.
It says Competition Head Service, but that is only 1/100th of the things that he does.
Any kind of machine work on your street and or performance motors. He's the man to get it done, no doubt.
And he's one of the last people in the Mobile area that has a ballast machine.
Yeah.
It's actually operating and somebody knows how to properly use it.
Yeah, they were the place to go there forever and ever. So. And still are.
Still are. Got him some new toys now.
Got him some new toys.
CNC machines. Yeah, he making stuff now rather than just refinishing it.
Yep, and can repeat it every time.
That's the cool part about it. Yeah, it really is. You can make a set of pistons. Make a set of rods.
Yep.
And I know he's built a lot of carburetor spacers and things of that nature, which are very beneficial to a carbureted car.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's amazing the benefits you get from the shape of those spacers.
It is. The airflow.
Yeah. Ooh. I had the benefit of having a very good friend that had a machine shop and dyno service,
and
we spent many an hour playing with and modifying and fine tuning, intakes and spacers and carburetors and
right,
all that kind of stuff, and exhaust systems and camshafts and
that's the way we did it years ago.
Right,
we didn't go get on the internet and order us a race ready motor.
Right,
We didn't go to the dealership and order a sealed motor.
Right.
We made all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's great motors are great. I'm not going to badmouth them too much where we're running one right now. But, it takes some of it out of it for me because I always liked building the better mousetrap being able to,
You're taking the big part out of racing, where if you build a race car back in the day, you might have 15 people participating in some area or some facet of the production and upkeep of that car.
Right.
Well, now, if it don't work right, you just get, you got a pocket full of money.
Right.
You get on the internet and order you another, big super toy in a box.
Yep, I tell you, it's, I don't know, I like the tuning it myself and doing the little tweaks here and there that make improvements, and that's where I get my enjoyment out of it.
That was the interesting part, you'd be laying in bed sometime during the week and go,
Yeah.
And the wife would say, what's the matter with you? I just thought of something I'm going to do to the car.
Yeah.
I think it'll help.
Yep.
Well,
you can find stupid stuff. I'm sitting there on the dyno, got my car on the dyno one night, and we're tuning stuff, and I got the car all dialed in, and it's on the chassis dyno, and I got the hood up. It's on hinges, and I got the hood up the whole time I'm running it. And for some reason, we just laid the hood down the last pass and immediately lost 15 horsepower.
Say what?
It's like, wait a minute. So we opened the hood back up, propped it back up, made another pass. Boom, brought it right back up where it was.
It had to restrict flow of air.
Nope.
What?
Nope. Think about it. Where'd all that hot air from the radiator go?
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And you close that hood, then it's the fan pushes it right back on the carburetor.
Funneled it right up over the motor
and into the air intake.
Yep. So that hot air coming off that radiator was doing it.
So did y'all build an air box?
Well,
or would they let you run one?
They wouldn't let you run a cold air box around the carburetor.
Okay.
So I built a fan shroud.
Ooh.
But the fan shroud went back to about the throttle shaft on the carburetor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So where the hot air come out, it went out past where the carburetor was going to get it. So built that, put it up there, shut the hood, and boom, right where it's supposed to be.
Well, 15 horsepower can mean the difference in winning and not winning.
Oh, it was day and night difference on the racetrack.
I can imagine.
I mean, it was. Yep. You know, and I don't know what it really did at speed when I was pushing all that hot air up through the carburetor versus getting the cool air.
Right.
And
it's obvious. You get a cold, chilly night, and you go out there to race, and no car comes alive.
Oh, yeah.
You can pick up a couple of tents just about anywhere at any time, and then you go back out, same track, same setup, everything identical, and you got 80 or 90-degree temperature out there.
Yeah.
Or the sun's out, and it's like a good hot 80 or something. Poop, it goes,
Or it could be like this past Saturday night at Pensacola when we were over there, and it was, I don't know how hot it was, but our car, our Outlaw, has never run over about 180 degrees on the racetrack.
Really?
It was 235 to 240 during the race.
Well, asphalt, the asphalt track and the heat coming off the track, y'all were racing in the afternoon, 5 to 6, the hottest time there was.
Yep.
The air heat factor was probably 108, 110.
Right.
So, and then that's getting hotter than that coming off of that asphalt that's been sitting there all day.
Yeah.
Sucking up that heat.
Yep. I tell you, it's unbelievable. First time I've ever had a heating problem with the car. Yeah. We had already told them, said, okay, if you see 250, bring it in. We're not going to cook it for this. But, it's I've never had a problem with mine running hot, and that's it definitely.
You've got it ducked. It's in there, so you go get air.
Yeah, it's got a good air box on it, and like I say, normally,
good radiator.
Good sometimes it doesn't even get up to 180 degrees during the race.
Fan speed. This ain't your first rodeo.
Right. So it was hot. It was definitely hot, but. That was oil temperature pegged out. It was 300 degrees, easy. A 280 degree gauge, and it was pegged.
Yeah.
So,
I know this is not fixing cars, but I watched that race on CBS at Five Flag Speedway, and you had 12 or 13 drivers. You had Marco Andretti, Tony Stewart, Michael Waltrip, Ryan Newman, and one of our local
Hunter Ray and Bubba Pollard.
King there, Bubba Pollard.
Castro Neves, who won, and
Bobby
Tony Stewart and Bobby Labonte.
Bobby Labonte, yeah.
And we're talking, one of them just won an Indy 500 not long ago.
Right.
So it's and they're current IndyCar drivers, and some of them are current drivers. Some of the best of the best, and they were falling out.
And they were in equal built cars. They have a team that of people that build these cars identically. They all have identical parts. They all have identical measurements. You put them on the scale, they have identical weights.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Schrader is one of the guys that in Seneca, I believe you said, was the two guys that set these cars up. They go out and road test them, decide what they need, and they set it on that car. Then they come back in and set it on all the other cars.
Yep.
So every car is equal. It's running equal motors.
Right.
But then, Kevin, I thought those guys were going to have heat strokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you ever wonder whether a race car driver is an athlete or not.
Yes.
You get in a box and try and focus for an hour at 145 degree temperature, inside of a car, and that's where it was. That's what those guys were working in, and they're out there basically for 2 hours because it was a 2 hour deal. So, You know, that mid break there, where after the heat races, where they got to get out and take a break. Some of them were ice packed and just about falling out there on the asphalt.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What I thought was a little funny, Bubba Pollard, who's probably in the least decent shape of all of them.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
You know, he climbs out of his and he looks fine. You know, he's just.
But he runs 3-4 nights a week.
He's running you know, multiple times a week in this kind of temperature and just not he's used to it. I mean, it's just what it
That's
is.
That's just it. So, yeah. Yeah.
But sound like it's time for us to take a break. When we get back, hopefully we can get some calls in on talking about some cars. But we'll be back. You may wonder how come I love you when you get on my nerves like you do. Well, baby, you know you love me. There ain't no secret about that. But come on over here and hug me. Baby, I'll spill a fact. Well, honey, it ain't.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have a caller online. We got Doug Houston on with us. Doug, you with us? Hello?
Can we get
Doug not hearing us?
There you go.
Doug Houston.
Yeah, can you hear us, buddy?
Yes, I can hear you. I love your show. Thanks.
All right, brother. Listen, I'm hearing some rattling of cages and jingling of bells and all down on Dolphin Island. You guys are going to get the kids wishing to go fishing 25th year tournament on.
Yes, sir. Man, you're not kidding. It's been a long road, and this is going to be my last one. So they got a tribute to me, all the guys that are involved in this, including you. And I love it, man. It's great to see the look on a child's face when they catch their first fish.
Right, right.
Oh, I'm getting stuff about it right now.
Oh, I know, man, and to help the kids get those fish off of their line and get it, put it in a quart Ziploc bag so they can take it home with them, to their parents. And because they're not worried about weighing it in or something, anything like that. They caught a fish. Mm-hmm. They'd never caught one before. They didn't know what a rod and reel looked like. And then they do that and then, throw back in. They catch another one. They're going, I got another one. It's a blast, well, man.
You've been there and done that, and you know.
Right.
Like I said, look on a child's face for the first fish he catches.
Unbelievable, man.
But when they catch that third fish, you know this as well as I do.
Right.
They turn around and look at you with that little face.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that's so neat about it, Doug, is – give us a little insight to our listening audience about what you guys do with the fishing tournament and what you do for the kids. Now, that being said, the kids that you guys have been getting down there for the last 30 years come from the Boys and Girls Clubs. They're between the ages of 8 and 12, and the Boys and Girls Clubs bring their counselors with them, and they bring kids from each one of the clubs in the Mobile. I understand they have some kind of competition that the kids get a chance to apply and work for so that they can go on this fishing trip.
Yeah. They're graded by their work in school, their days of attendance, their achievements. I don't really know. I haven't been really involved with how much goes on behind the scenes with the Boys and Girls Club.
Right, right.
But these children are absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
They get rods and reels, tackle boxes with some tackle, hats, t-shirts, goodie bags, you name it. And we take them out for a day and teach them how to fish.
Yep. Right.
That way, we hope when it's over with that they will go fishing instead of go to the street.
Right, right. Well, you know, they say that you teach a person how to fish, and they are never hungry for life.
Yeah. You can give a fish a child. I'm sorry.
Give a child a fish, yeah.
And they will fish for a lifetime.
Right, right. Well, you know, once they leave there, y'all have actually put them in a position where they can go fishing because they have their own rod and reel. They have a little tackle box with a few hooks and weights and things, corks in it. And I know at sometimes we were able to give them a little bait box. Then they normally got a backpack and with a bunch of freebies in there from a lot of the organizations and corporations that help sponsor it. And I had a distinct pleasure working with you for at least, 18 years?
Oh, yes, or longer.
Yeah.
And you've been a blessing to the organization.
Well,
I've gotten on up in age.
Right.
I'm not going to say how old you are, but...
That's okay. I'm older than you, child boy.
Yes, you got that right. But anyway, I turned it over to a bunch of young guys.
Right.
They are doing a fabulous job. They're doing really a fabulous job this year on a short notice.
Right.
And, you know, the COVID has really, really hurt us for the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. It shut us down for 2 years.
Yeah, so we had to start all over again. And these guys have done a fabulous job, and they want to continue with it.
Well, I know Russell Fell, and I don't know so as a lot of the other guys, but I know Russell Fell, and I know Greg Callahan with ABC Signs. He stepped up, and he's been a part of it. But he was always a part of it with you and I in that he was able to develop the shirts and the hats and shirts for our counselors, and as well as make our signage and make our banners and stuff that we use to help promote our sponsors.
Yes, they did. They made the sponsor board and all the people really continued and helped. Plus some anonymous.
Oh yes.
Folks that really contributed very well.
Yes. I don't think I ever went to an organization, a company, or an individual and asked for some sponsor money to help buy and purchase all of that. I mean, you know, to get a bus to go down there now, you're talking about $800 to $1,200 just to ride those kids to Dolphin Island, and you don't want them to have to go down there in their car or the cars and the vans from the Boys and Girls Clubs, because that's the big deal. If they can ride on one of them Greyhounds or a big old Greyhound-type bus, and you've got a deputy sheriff or a city policeman and all in front of them with the blue lights and all on, you made their day already. They hadn't even got to the island yet.
Yeah, for the past years, the Mobile Police Department first started when Sam Cochran was there. And then when he got to become sheriff, he supplied us for years with a police escort.
Right.
Number one, I think, really, is when these children, you know, I call them underprivileged, but some of them call them disadvantaged, whatever.
Right.
They don't ever have contact with the law authority.
Right, that's true.
So when they see these guys giving them a blue light escort to Dolphin Island, they say, man, these guys are really helping us.
Well, and those guys usually hang around with us, and the policemen do, our deputy sheriffs, and hang around and mingle with the kids and all, and they just establish a familiarity with those kids and all, and I think that's a hell of an asset for our community when they do that.
Oh yes, it's definitely a community tribute.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that you're just so old and wore out. You can't do nothing now, old man.
Rub it in, brother. But rub it in.
25th year, and that Doug Houston's kids wishing to go fishing. Is an awesome venue. I've been extremely proud to be part of it, and I'll continue to work with the guys some and help with the media and PR and what have you if necessary. But it's just neat to have been part of it, Doug. You know, you should, when you lay down tonight there and take a little nap, enjoy it, because you've been a real asset to the young people in the Mobile area. So, if you take, 25 years times 30 is, I don't know what that is, but that's 750 kids that you've taken out to, yes. you know, on trip. Fishing trips?
If each trip I could just save one child.
Amen. Right.
To go fishing instead of go to the street.
Right, and go in the street or go to jail, yes. Hell yes. But yes.
We didn't mention that these are 30 children.
Right. Right.
We forgot to mention that.
Yep. We take out 30 kids on each one of these kids wishing to go fishing tournaments.
Yes. And thanks to the generosity of the Dolphin Island Marina.
Right.
And the Duke Charter Boat.
Oh, yeah, the Duke Charter Boat. Boy, that thing has been a lifesaver for us.
Oh, yes. You know, when they go and pull the shrimp net on the way out.
Right.
They pull it in, and they have a huge trough in the center.
Right.
And put water in it. And they pour all these fish in. Of course, we take the catfish and the crabs
right,
out.
Right, right.
And let these children touch croakers, white trout.
Oh, yeah.
Shrimp.
All the shrimp and stuff. Yeah, you know, and they play with all that stuff. They'd rather be playing. Well, they play with it all the time while we're going out until we get out there fishing. And then, you know, if whatever shrimp and stuff that we caught in there, we use it for bait. But at the same time, we do carry some extra bait just in case. But they'd rather do that because they'll stop fishing to go back there and play with the live fish in the well.
You're not kidding. It's amazing how they become more adapted to the outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of the street.
Right, right. Oh, they'll fight you about them rod and reels now coming home. Don't you mess with my rod and reel.
You're exactly right.
That's awesome, though, Doug. Appreciate what you've done, and you've stepped up to the front there. And we just need more people in the country to do stuff like that and make it advantageous for our kids to enjoy themselves and learn how to fish and be part of that community.
Yes, and we've got to really thank Russell Fell, Jason too, and which he's been very busy this year. You know, construction is unbelievable.
Right.
And plumbing, of course, and all the other volunteers. In fact, we've had some coming with us for almost the whole 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
We got one couple we really need to thank. That's Becky and Don Ludlum.
Oh, yes, Becky and Don. They did an awesome job. They were always there.
But they've gotten to the point that they're my age and can't do it anymore.
Oh, they're y'all's age. They can't go.
Yeah. But I want to tell everybody that's listening, if you get a chance, come around 12 to 1 o'clock
right.
Saturday afternoon and watch the kids come in.
Right.
And they're enjoying hot dogs, chips, drinks,
yep.
Everything before yep. they get on the bus and go back home.
Come on down to the Dolphin Island Marina on the left when you get off and go across the big bridge and somewhere around 12 or 1 o'clock and see the kids come in on the boats. We'll all be there shooting breeze and raising hell, carrying on. So, Doug, appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, man. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Thank you, Doug. It sounds like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to maybe get back to working on some cars here after the break, and we'll be back.
Well, you better hurry, or we can just kiss that money goodbye. You understand that?
I'll read you loud and clear. 10-4.
You got the one snowman. I'm eastbound and down.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And speaking of callers, we do have a caller online.
Doctor, you have a patient in room one.
I don't know that I'm the kind of doctor he needs. So that's a.
do you write script for pills?
Sponsors, USS Battleship Alabama. Have y'all been down there and seen the new teak deck?
I have not yet.
No, I haven't seen it, but I saw some of the the teak piled up or stacked up over there on the, what is it, port side that they worked on first?
Yeah, there. Well, you met my son,
who right?
Worked
yeah,
down there.
Yeah,
and he sent me some pictures of it today. And man, let me tell you, it's looking great.
Oh yes,
said,
oh yeah.
You should see it when it rains. It takes on this red appearance.
Oh goodness!
And I'm like, oh man, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's that. That's teak, you know.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see it when it's fully restored and have that old gray lady looking like she should be.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the other thing that I understand that they're doing is all of the pipes and all of the connections or fittings that break the surface of the deck, whether it be in or out, they are taking everything off all the way back to the steel, and they're putting like two coats of some kind of epoxy on that steel. But then they're redoing all of those pipes and all of those fittings and those junctions. And, I mean, that's just another 50 to 75 years that stuff's going to last.
Yes, and like I say, I can't wait till it's finished and go see the old gray lady, because I love that old battleship. She's been such a great part of Alabama, and I love that old gray lady.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome, man. You know, we have the... on the Scuttlebutt show that I do on Wednesday night, I have the pleasure of having a remote from over there like 7 or 8 times a year back on the Fantail. And you were over there with us, I guess the last time we were there. And it's a blast, man. That's a hoot to be on that ship.
Oh, yeah. But now, okay, I got a question for you. All right. And now,
the doctor is in.
Your mechanic for dummies. Okay. Question for the week.
You better quit reading
right.
my
now,
book.
You and Kevin, y'all bang your heads together. And I heard something the other day. And now, with the heat of the day being so hot, what do y'all think about this deal about filling up your cars when it's early in the morning? They say that the density of the gasoline is a little bit different early in the morning.
It is.
And,
when it's cool.
And do not fully press that handle and just fill it up fast as you can, because you got that vapor that's coming back in there. And you can actually get more gas in your tank for less price if you, you know, maybe what that one click, you know.
What?
Well.
Have you ever heard that?
I've heard that article too. But you know, first off, those tanks are underground by several feet,
right.
So they don't
right.
change temperature
yep.
that much. You know, I'm sure they heat up a little bit during the day, but you know that fuel is probably a pretty constant temperature.
It's probably about somewhere to 50 to 65 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year, it may even be up around 70 or 80, but, you know, even at that, it's not going to change a lot during the day. So I don't know if that's really going to be accurate. Yeah, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. It's one of those things somebody will have to set up an experiment and see what really happens.
Right.
Yeah.
But now, what about the thing about going full blast on your handle and doing it real slow? Because there is a vapor return
right
that goes back into the thing, and they say that if you go slower you get more gas.
You're definitely not creating as much vapor, I would think, if you're going a little bit slower with it. So there may be a little bit there, but how much you can really vaporize in the amount of time that it takes you to fill up.
You've got a valve on top of the tank too, you know.
Yeah,
like a vent type deal. But it vents right back through your canister.
Yep.
Yeah. But, well, we're just trying to save everybody just a little bit of money that we can with the price of gas right now.
Yeah.
Because some of the, you know, the I ain't gonna say the people up in Washington can't get their crap straight.
Yeah. Well, the you'd probably save more gas by going ahead and pumping in there in a hurry and then taking your time when you're going where you're going, you know, You're going to save more with your right foot than you will with your right hand putting it in the tank. So,
oh yeah, don't you just love to see somebody come by you, just screaming by you, and you come up to the next red light and they're sitting right back, right there next to you.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Reach over there and wave at them and say, "Hey, how you doing?"
That's like we did in the Corps, Jarhead. We ran to the everywhere we went, and then we had to wait 15, 20 minutes before we could get in. You know? Run, hurry up and wait.
What do they call it, Tom? Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait, baby. They wouldn't even light the smoking lamps. What are you talking about?
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's a good...
Y'all have a great night, and we'll talk to y'all.
All right, yeah, go light the smoking lamp, boy.
Yep. Thank you, Jarhead.
All right, hoorah.
Take care. Hoorah. Hoorah. Simplify, bro.
And we got another caller online. And caller, are you with us? Hello? Caller?
Yes, sir.
Yes. What can we do for you?
Tell me what you think about synthetic blend oil.
I'm good with it.
Yep.
You know, that's...
And tell me the difference between the synthetic and the regular. Why they say blend, I'm confused about that.
Well, the blend is it's not a full synthetic. It's going to have a conventional oil blended with a... full synthetic oil.
Right.
So,
you think
I mean,
it's good for high mileage cars?
And I'm fine with it. You know, especially for the people that are worried that, okay, if I go full synthetic, it's going to make use more oil or leak oil or this kind of this and that. It's probably a more smaller change to go from a conventional oil straight to synthetic. They can go to that blended synthetic, and
who do you recommend? What oil would you recommend?
You know, they're all really good nowadays. You know, I run Valvoline synthetic in a lot of my stuff. We run Mobil 1,
Penn's oil. You know, castor oil. As long as it's 100%.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the days.
I wouldn't want to put nothing in there that would gum it up, you know.
We don't really have that anymore. The you know, if you gum one up nowadays, it's because you didn't do your part and change oil.
I got you.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. Take care.
You too, sir. Bye.
All right.
And we have. Let's see. We got a text message here from James from Florida.
Floridia.
Yep. Is there any interior build difference in the GM Goodrich 350 medium duty engine found in the 60s, 70s, 80s school buses and the Vortec 350 put in the Tahoe and Suburbans? Yes, you know, is a short answer, but it is basically the same, same bore, same stroke, same configuration of the block. The Vortec motor is a single piece rear seal crankshaft, where the earlier one is a two piece, tended to leak more. The Vortec motor is actually a hydraulic roller camshaft, so it's easier on the camshaft. The head design is the main difference in the motors. The Vortec head is a very efficient head, makes good horsepower, flows well.
Oh, heck yeah. Yep.
Whereas the earlier 350 head was a decent head, but if we're talking about school bus motors, it would have had some big old heavy sodium filled valves in them.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and that was just on the medium duty stuff. But it's, you know, if I was going to go build a race motor that was going to make a lot of horsepower, I'd go find me an early model block.
Oh, yeah. Get the short block.
And get the block itself, because it's a heavier nickel content. It's thicker walls, everything.
Right.
A little better to machine.
Would it be a guarantee that most all of those blocks would have full bolt mains, or are you still going to find some two bolts?
More than likely, the medium duty stuff is pretty much going to be all four bolt main stuff.
Okay.
But your car motors and your light duty pickup truck motors could be a mix of either.
You're going to have more two bolt mains than that. But
if
you're going to build anything that you want to get any speed or performance out of, and any of them will work, but, you know, you prefer the four-bolt main.
Well, and we actually got to where we were using two-bolt main blocks and machining them for a billet four-bolt main cap on them.
And drill it
for that. Actually did very well with that.
Works good.
And it works very well. That's where our real performance, you know, 600-700 horsepower motors, you know, we're making what we're our basis for them. But that Vortec head's a really good head, and I run it forever on my super stock. Have had many of them over the years, and that's a good basis for a good street motor and or race motor. But does a very good job. But you know, all in all, it's still a 350 Chevrolet, but just updated, newer, better. You know. And the Vortec 350 is basically still the same motor that's used in, say, our GM 602 crate motor that's the truck series that we run here local. It's a Vortec head, you know, and basically a Vortec short block.
Are those powder rods?
It's a powdered metal rod, right. Crack cap rods. Design. And most people probably wouldn't understand what a crack cap design is, but instead of having a rod or having a two-piece rod that they've actually just make the top half, then they make the top bottom half, machine them and fit them together, and then do all the machine work, they actually take a solid rod that has two holes in either end, and they'll do all the machine work, and then they'll crack it at the cap, and then you know then they finish the machine work once they bolt it back together. And at that point, it will only go to back together one way.
One way. But that makes the connection of that cap on that rod bulletproof.
Right, right. And it doesn't shift around. It doesn't change. You don't there's no way to put it together wrong without really goofing it up. So, but it's a neat way to do things. But it sounds like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk one size too small. No spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main frog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all. Your torque converter's running low on torque, and that water pump's nearly down a quart. We caught it all in time, so you're in luck."
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But let's see, we got a text message here from Michelle, longtime listener and contributor, Rapid Ray's daughter. Dr. Kevin, how many miles does a drive belt last? How many years? Well, it really depends. You know, it's not unusual for them to go past 100,000 miles. If you're going to take 10 or 15 years to get to the 100,000 miles, I would probably change it before then. But there's many of them running around on the street right now with 100,000 miles on them. When you get to that point, it's probably time. If you haven't had a problem with it, it's probably time to go ahead and change it just to be safe. But I've seen them with close to 200,000 miles on the belts and still be fine. You know, the materials, we used to have a problem with them cracking real bad.
Right, yeah.
But the materials have gotten so much better over the years that you don't hardly ever see that anymore.
Do you have any info as to what they're doing and what kind of materials we're running now, rather than just the old rubber that we were accustomed to, impregnated with a little nylon or something?
I really don't know what they've done to them, to be honest with you, but I know the hoses and belts have gotten to where they last much, much longer. Yeah. I remember on the old police cars in the 90s, early 80s, or early 2000s, they had to run a silicone hose on the cars to keep them from deteriorating too fast. And those would hold up. They were old green, ugly-looking hoses. But
were funky-looking.
Yeah, they held up very well, though. Okay. But I don't know if they've added silicone to them or what. I don't know. But
they're doing fine job, though.
They do a good job, really do. But one thing I wanted to mention, we get talking about gas prices and all that kind of stuff, and that it's way too high, and it absolutely is. But one thing, and I heard this the other day, is that we're looking at a DEF shortage, diesel exhaust fluid shortage.
Oh, really?
And that can be you got to stop and think what that can do to this country. You know, if we run short on DEF fluid, every truck you see running up and down the highway, moving goods,
yeah,
is
using DEF fluid. They all having to use it now?
They're all using DEF fluid. All of the diesels that are run around the highway since 2008 or 10,
yes,
are using DEF fluid.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Should they go out and buy some extra and stash it?
Well, and you got to be careful because you can create a shortage,
right,
as well.
Yeah.
Okay. The toilet paper in the COVID thing is a prime example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody panics
yes, and goes out and buys, you know, grocery carts full of toilet paper.
Oh, I know. Get a truckload of it.
But, it ain't going to hurt to go out and get an extra bottle or two.
Okay.
You know, to have, just in case.
Okay.
But, don't go crazy with it when you hear that, you know, it's going to be short. Because, you know, if you shut down the over-the-road truckers and the truckers.
We're already in trouble with what it's costing for fuel.
Right. That absolutely shuts down everything. Food, you know.
In other words, you can't run those vehicles without DEF fluid?
There is not a way legally to get around running it. When it runs out.
I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, and it's a many $1,000 thing to delete it.
Well, if you can't get it,
Well, you know. And it's not a quick fix to delete either.
Okay.
So to keep your vehicle legal to run on the highway, you got to keep it on there.
We're fixing to get into a dilemma.
Well, you know, and like I say, it's not like you can just keep driving it with a check engine light on.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It shuts you down. It puts you on the side of the road. 4 mile an hour is as fast as it'll go.
You don't have a choice then.
Right. You have no choice. You know, eventually it gets to the point where it won't even start.
Yeah.
So that just shuts things down. So, you know, just everybody keep their head on their shoulders and you know, they'll get it figured out.
That'd not be good. Yeah.
But that's not going to be a good thing. You know, gas prices and all that's one thing, but when you can't get – it'd be – about like just running out of fuel altogether.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, you might as well run out of fuel because it won't run without.
Well, the gas prices will come down because you won't be able to.
Yeah.
You know, well, the gas prices probably go up. Diesel prices come down because nobody be burning it. But anyway, just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, yeah. That's good information.
Yeah.
Let's try this one. I want to aggravate some people and see what's going on. I'd like to talk to some people that own the EV cars, the electric cars. I'd like to know the brands of cars that they have. They don't have to give their name. Just tell me what brand of car they're driving and what their ideas and opinions are about how they work, how they operate, how far can they drive them before they have to recharge the batteries, how long does it take to recharge them, do they know exactly what it's costing to recharge it. Let's just get a little insight from the actual people that are utilizing the vehicles to tell us that, you know, that we don't have one. I like to know what the deal is, you know?
Yep. You know, and it's that'd be great information to get out there for the people because, you know, you can read all the sales brochures and all that kind of stuff you want to read, but until you get out there and try it for yourself, you really won't know what it is.
Let me talk to the dude that's got one.
Right.
That's the guy I want to talk
and
to.
And has had one for a year.
Right. And how long you had it? Yeah, and right. Tell me how good it works and how bad it don't work. You know,
right.
Now, tell me the good, bad, and indifference.
Yeah.
But so that's where we're going to get the true facts from. I mean, I read books and internet and Facebooks and everything else about electric cars and vehicles. But, you know, that's all printed stuff. They're saying what somebody wants them to say, maybe, you know?
Right.
So I'd like to talk to some of the people. And I know they're in town. I've seen two or three Teslas. And I know that you guys, Zero Motors, has got a lot of Volts are out there.
The Volts and the Bolts are out there. You know, of course, there's every manufacturer has got their own version nowadays.
Yeah, a lot of Nissan electric vehicles and all kinds of stuff. Let's talk to people that's got them. And as I say, you don't have to give your name unless you want to.
Right.
But just call in and say, I want to give you a rundown about my electric car.
Yep.
And here I saw, okay, tell us what tell us what you got to say. It good, bad, or indifferent.
Yep, yep.
And let's see what's on the street.
Exactly. But anyway, speaking of cars, I do want to invite everybody out to UJ Chevrolet and check out our inventory. We've actually got an inventory right now.
Ooh, yeah,
so we've got the best inventory seen on the lot in probably 2 years.
Oh, my Lord. I've seen some of these dealerships around here don't have a two or three cars sitting on a damn front line.
I talked to one of our friends at another dealer that said they did not have a single new one on the lot. So, you know, I'm sure that's a temporary deal. And it's just
well,
like
everybody else.
Well,
they probably already sold everything they had coming in.
Well, and that's the deal is, you know, it's just like us. You know, they're selling as fast as they're coming in.
Right, right.
So, you know, we actually got bombarded with truck after truck after truck after truck, you know, here about a week or so ago and or over the last week or two. And so it's our inventory looks pretty good today anyway.
I know the sales department loved it.
Yeah. It looks a little strange having a full parking lot out front for a little while. It's not as full as it was at one time, but it's definitely better. But we've actually got some smaller SUVs. I think there's a Malibu or two out there. There's some Equinoxes and that. But they had stopped production on those for a while, but they're getting them rolling again. So hopefully we're over the hump a little bit on some of that. But we'll see. Come out and see us, and I'm sure they'll be glad to try and work with you on putting you in a new one. I know a lot of you have been waiting, so now's the time. So anyway, it sounds like we've run up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And try and stay cool. It's going to be hot this week. But
103, 104.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear that again, but it's going
to
happen.
Yep. And to all of our vets out there, thank you for your service, brothers. Hoorah!